I love you too, honey. I'm sorry that it's warm where you are. I hope you got some relief when you moved, when you changed your location. I assume you guys can hear me. It would be bad, I guess, if you couldn't. All right. good. No, I meant when. Cheryl, we're so funny. Cheryl and I had a conversation on the board where we couldn't understand what the other one was saying, and now I think we're having another one. You were talking about moving from the upstairs to the downstairs. That's the move I was talking about. It's really funny, but doesn't that show you? A Course in Miracles says there's no communication going on here, and even when we really, really, really try, it seems like that's the result sometimes, is there's just very little communication going on. So yeah, we'll keep trying. hey Kathy, glad you could join us. Kathy Smith just joined the room. So I'm here alone. Poor, pitiful me, all alone tonight. Besides you guys, you know what I mean. I do not have any assistance in teaching, in sharing tonight. I would like to invite those of you who are here to, for those of you who are here to raise your hands if you want to add something. Connie, who normally teaches with me, my sister Connie is in Florida, and my husband is in New York. So he hasn't taught for several months now as he's been in New York. So here we are. Let me take a breath, slow the voice down. Really, Kathy, you might be moving to Florida. Cool, where? Cool. The Villages. I have no idea where that is. Connie probably does. She and her partner have a condo down there. A zillion golf courses. Oh wow. Okay. Well, I have to come visit you then. All right. So let's take a moment here and just say a prayer. We non-dualists sometimes have difficulty praying because it begs the question, well, who am I praying to? But I can say that my intent is to be very devotional and surrender to that higher power that's not of the little self, and ask for assistance in seeing what I ought to see. And conveying what ought to be conveyed, and just being here fully and in love. Amen. All right. I'm going to wind just a little bit more here before I get started and tell you not only do I not have any teaching partners tonight, but we are starting a new chapter. That should be cause for excitement, I guess. I'm teaching or sharing from Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. I'm teaching from the chapter of John. So we're starting on page 187 tonight, and it's a bit intimidating because, as you know, there's a whole series that Regina Dawn Akers, our founder and the scribe of Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. Regina has done a whole series on the Holy Spirit's interpretation of John. That series is called The Guiding Light. The first 8 episodes of that series can be found on our YouTube channel. And regardless of what I get said or don't get said here tonight, I highly encourage you to go listen to Regina's teaching of this chapter of the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament. I think it'll blow you away. But we'll hey Dove. But we'll see where we get tonight, and just how things strike us here. And again, like I say, feel free to raise your hand and add any interpretation that you may have, any insights that you may have. Obviously, as always, Okay, Cheryl. Always, as always, feel free to type on the board. But again, I want to encourage you to raise your hand and share. Okay, so here we are. NTI John chapter 1. The Word of God is the voice for God. They are one and the same, as they cannot be separate. One is an extension of the other. In this extension, sameness is contained. It's really funny to read. It's really sweet. Just the power in those words. And when I say it's funny, it's just funny to see words trying to explain the unexplainable. You know, how many words does it take to say oneness? All is one. God is all there is. And it's just really, really, really sweet. These are very powerful words used to say exactly that. The Word of God is the voice for God. They are one and the same, as they cannot be separate. One is an extension of the other. In this extension, sameness is contained. Where there is sameness, there cannot be difference. Where the voice for God is also in all of his fullness and his glory. And you know, A Course in Miracles, I think, I don't know. What I want to talk about is this idea that one is an extension of the other. In this extension, sameness is contained. And you know, somewhere we've been referred to as extensions of God. But it's within this extension is sameness. And that's what we are. That's what God is. That's what the voice for God is. The voice for God has always been, since the beginning of time and before. He is the overseer of all things. As all things were made, he saw that they were good. It was not through his wish that the earth and the stars and heaven were made, but it was through his knowledge that they were blessed. Sweet. That's really sweet. And interesting too. I don't know if I want to get caught up in that or not, but it's through his knowledge that they were blessed, which is interesting because my recollection is A Course in Miracles says that God knows nothing of this world. I don't know that it's relevant, but it is. What is really clear here is that it was not through his wish that this world was created. You know, again, that kind of refers back to that tiny man idea. You know, it was our wish to see what it would be like. My understanding, you know, I don't have personal knowledge of this, but it resonates with me when I hear it. You know, it was our wish to say, hey, what if everything weren't one? What if things could be different than they are? What if I could be one thing and see another? That sort of idea was the idea behind the creation of the world. And so it was not God's wish. It was not oneness wish that the earth and the stars and the heavens were made, but it was through his knowledge that they were blessed. Yeah, and given that all things are an extension of sameness, I think that we have no choice but to be blessed in this endeavor, even though it's, you know, it's certainly misguided, and it certainly led to a lot of unfortunate seemingly consequences. But even in that, we're blessed. Yeah, suffering, absolutely. Okay, verse 4. In him was life, and through him was life and light given to all things that were made. Wow, right? And you know, in the Kabbalah, they talk about God as a process. And that's what this is. I mean, all things that were made that would have to be made in him and through him and of him. In him was life, and through him was life, and light given to all things that were made. In him lies the light of men. Men shall be known by their light. The light is in all men and with all men. The light does not fade or wither, but the darkness that fills the sight of man does not see the light or choose to know it. And so that waits on welcome that it may be known. And certainly, that's consistent with our experience. Connie and I talked about this last week when we taught from the end of Luke. You just can't see what you can't make room for. You can't deal with that cognitive dissonance. So until we make room for the light, we will continue to see through the eyes of darkness, or as A Course in Miracles would say, through the eyes of ego. And it's not until we agree to see differently that we begin to see differently. Or as it says here, the light waits on welcome that it may be known. Yeah. Freedom of choice. There's your choice. Oh, I see. I'm supposed to read from the Bible here, so give me just a second and pull that up. NIV, John, chapter 1. Okay. So, this is for verses 6 through 9, and this is again from the New International Version. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Okay, that was the NIV version. And here's the Holy Spirit's interpretation of those verses. It just seems strange. Seems a little off there. Okay, I guess not. Oh, you know what? That's wrong. Oh, guys, I can't believe how you have to put up with my wrongness. I thought, now that seems off. Let's try this again. Okie dokie. Want to hear the right verses? Thank you for your patience. Here's the correct verses. That was First John I was reading from. First John was not where we wanted to be. We wanted to be with John. So let's read the correct verses from the New International Version of John chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. This makes sense. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Yeah, I didn't like that last passage at all either. Kathy. This one I like. Let's see what the Holy Spirit says about that. Okay, John the Baptist came into the world as one seeking the light. Always he was ready to see it and recognize it. For John had faith that there must be light, even though he didn't have willingness to see it in him. John believed in guilt, and it was his belief in guilt that hid his light from his eyes. But John had great love for the light and was attracted to the light. So that the light was attracted to him, that he may be witness to it. In this way, John helped to welcome the light through his desire to know the light. And now, okay, now that's really, really sweet. I've been working for several hours today on a task that I'm overdue on completing, and that's to make a video to go along with Elie Ruzdahr's talk. The one that Regina taught recently, the one that she gave a year ago. The reason that I mention that is because I think it's cool here how it says in this first line, it says, John the Baptist came into the world as one seeking the light. And, you know, Ellie in her talk says that unless that condition is satisfied, you might as well get off the path because you're not gonna become enlightened. I mean, because what it takes is that burning desire, and that, for lack of a better term, you come in with that. It's not something that, although I know Michael Langford says it, your desire for the truth can be increased. Ellie did not think that your desire for the truth could be increased. She thought that, however, that burning desire, the desire for the light, this exact thing that the NTI is talking about here, is a prerequisite that you have to have from the get-go. And it so having just put that work down, I really saw that when I read that line. He came into the world as one seeking the light, always. He was ready to see it and recognize it. Now, the other cool thing that I saw here in the intense desire for liberation, exactly. The other thing that I saw here was because he was attracted to the light was attracted to him. That's good news. You know, and we've heard that before, right? That God is seeking you as surely as you're seeking Him. And then this final line in this paragraph is again just as sweet as it can be. It says, in this way, in His seeking, right? In His seeking of the light, in His attraction of the light, in this way, John helped to welcome the light through his desire to know the light. And I think that's not a repeat of the line before. You might think that it is. It says, you know, John had a great love for the light and was attracted to the light, so that the light was attracted to him, that he may be a witness to it. To me, this last line really says something a little different. Let me read it again. In this way, John helped to welcome the light through his desire to know the light, helped to welcome it. For me, it seems to be talking about this idea of the spreading of the light in the one mind, you know, the spreading of the light throughout the world, the ending of the darkness that's in the world through my desire. You know, it's like what the Course in Miracles talks about when it says, you know, the sole task, the sole job, the sole function, maybe. How about that? The sole function of the miracle worker is to accept the atonement for him or herself, right? So that's the same thing. I mean, if I want to save the world, I start right here by welcoming the light into my heart, by seeking the light within myself. Yeah. All I knew was I was seeking truth, had no idea it was this amazing, knowing we are light, going home to our source, Cheryl says. Yeah. So we're all doing this. In this way, John helped to welcome the light through his desire to know the light. Verses 10 through 13. Know that the light has always been in the world. As the world was made life through its blessing. Let me talk about that sentence. I just want to say that, you know, I've also been listening to Paul Hederman, and I'm very enamored with what Paul has to say. And he makes a point that I also recently saw made by Nisargadatta Maharaj, and I Am That. But it's this idea that The things that we experience only have reality because we lend them our reality. They only seem to have life because we lend them our life. This is the same thing that this is saying. I mean, it's if we did not lend our life to the things that we perceive, right? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Let's make this thing seem real. It would not have reality because the only reality is the reality of beingness, our reality. And that's what we lend to the illusion to give it the appearance of life, to give it the appearance of reality. Kathy, I think you can go to his site and make a donation. It's zenbitchslap.com. All one word. I'm not signing in as an admin or I'd put that on the board, but yeah. Yeah, he's awesome. Paul Hederman's awesome. Okay, so yeah, starting again. Know that the light has always been in the world as the world was made life through its blessing. There has never been an absence of light, but the world did not recognize the light as John did, because the world was not ready to see the light shine away darkness. Oh, is it Zen Bitch or is it Zen Bitch Slap? I know this sounds funny. It sounds real. Maybe if you went got it, Cheryl, that's great. Yeah, cool. Thanks, Cheryl, for putting that up there. Yeah, I know. Regina did it over the phone, and that made it really difficult to hear. Kathy, I appreciate you pointing that out, and maybe I can clear up that audio. Kathy's saying that the audio of his second sharing wasn't that great, and I noticed it at the time. Maybe I can get some clearer audio. I'm learning more and more about how to clear those things up as we go along. So I'll make myself a note, Kathy, and see if I can work on that. Clear Paul audio. Okay. Yeah, cool. All right. Let's see. Okay, the voice for God. This is verse 14, page 188, NTI. The voice for God is present on earth as it is present in the light that lights the hearts of man. When man chooses the light as his guidance within the world, the light is made manifest in the body of man. And the voice that is spoken through the body of man is the voice for God, which knows not of man, but only of light. Yeah, and that's really cool. again, I'm thinking of Paul because I was listening to him so much, but he was just talking about this too. He was saying, you don't you, he's awake. In my humble opinion, he's awake, and he's like, it's not like you plan and you go, well, this is how I'm going to lead my life now that I'm awake. He's like, no, you get up, you go to the grocery store, and then you go over and you do go to the record store. Or actually, he was talking about going to a surf shop. He had a gift certificate and he was going to buy some clothes, and he ran into somebody there that was in AA, and he talked to them, and they knew somebody he knew, and he made a difference in this person's life. So the point, using his example, is this light is made manifest through us. So this is how we extend the light that we experience. We extend that to others so that they can see the light as well. All right. And that's what's being talked about here, so that when I follow guidance in the world, I am used as a communication device for the voice of God. Verses 15 through 18, all who choose to see the light will witness the light when it is made manifest through one who wills the light to be. God is welcomed into the presence of man by the desire to know God before man. The desire for truth beckons truth, and truth becomes manifest. For love cannot say no to a request for love. So where love is welcomed, there it shall be. And yes, being in the flow is a good place to be, no question about it. And this is saying, again, it's talking about that intense desire for liberation, that fundamental desire for the light. And that if that desire is our one true desire, if we hold that desire up as our beacon, seeing the light, knowing the truth, any of these ways of saying the same thing, if that is our aspiration and we hold that aspiration first, then we can't be refused. We won't be refused. The desire for truth beckons truth, and truth becomes manifest. For love cannot say no to a request for love. So where love is welcomed, there it shall be. And then we have verses 19 through 28. And I have a little Bible icon here. From NTI, that's telling me I should read the Bible for these. So let's do that. 19 through 28. It's titled here in the New International Version, John the Baptist Denies Being the Messiah. Now, this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Messiah." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah? Elijah?" He said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord." Now the Pharisees, who had been sent, questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you're not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany, on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. And I just want to acknowledge what Cheryl wrote here. I'm working with two screens here, so I missed it, Cheryl. But Cheryl said about what we just read prior to reading from the Bible, setting our intention to see only the truth, our guidance will come naturally. Okay, so let's look at this. We just read about in the Bible. John's search for light was focused outside himself so that the existence of light was welcomed, but the realization of light was not. This was a blessing upon the world, for acceptance of existence precedes actual realization of self. Wow. That's interesting. It's so funny, when you read these truth teachings, because I had not seen that paragraph before. It's an interesting paragraph. First of all, you're like, oh no, poor John, he was searching outside himself. We know that's a no-no. And then NTI goes, no, it's a good thing. Because so let me read it to you again, and let's see if we can parse this out together. John's search for light was focused outside himself so that the existence of light was welcomed, but the realization of light was not. This was a blessing upon the world, for acceptance of existence precedes actual realization of self. Yeah, so it's just really sweet. It's saying the same thing we've been saying, of course, and that is that you have to accept the existence of truth and hunger to know that truth, have that desire. in order to experience the actual realization of self, experience the actual awareness of the truth of who you are. But the first thing you must do is accept that there is a truth, seek for that truth. It says, John's guilt blocked his light from himself, but his desire brought it forth unto him, that he may see it and find the glimmer in his heart that said, I am here too, John. Right? In his heart as well. Sweet, sweet, sweet. Okay. So let's look at now we're going to do verses 29 through 34. Again, I'm referred to the Bible. And this is titled in the New International Version, John Testifies About Jesus. Let's see. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. Back to Holy Spirit's interpretation. And so it was through John's own desire that Jesus was drawn to John by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that John may see the light and rejoice in the light and declare to the world that the light of heaven shines within the world. I have seen the light. Praise the Lord. I have seen the light. All right. And again, we're referred back to the Bible, verses 35 through 42. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, Look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, What do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter. Okay. Yeah, it's funny though to get some of that background. It's like, well, that's interesting information. Bo Cephas. No, it wasn't Bo Cephas. Although we were just singing, in my mind, I was singing Hank Senior, I saw the lie. But no, this was Cephas. So here's what NTI says. John, bringing forth his desire to witness to the light, witnessed to it. John, bringing forth his desire to witness to the light, witnessed to it. Those who had found interest in John's desire began to follow the manifestation of light. The recognition and desire of truth was within them also, and this is why they were attracted to the light. Okay, those are the two things, the recognition that there is a truth greater than me, right? And the second thing is the desire to know that truth. These are exactly the things that Elie Ruzdahl was talking about. The recognition and desire of truth was within them also, and this is why they were attracted to the light. It was their own inner light reaching for itself that caused them to get up and follow Jesus. Oh my God. Yeah, that is. Wow, that is so powerful. It was their own inner light reaching for itself that caused them to get up and follow Jesus. The innocence of man was awakened by the manifestation of innocence within the world. Those who were willing to see innocence recognized it, and innocence recognized itself in all that it did see. No one was called that did not want to be called. All who were called were ready and asking that the calling come to them. And again, it's just, I mean, this is so powerful because, and it just told us this, the recognition that there's a truth greater than the truth that I can see, that there's a truth greater than this this seeming body, the seeming limitation that I seem to live in, these whatever the circumstances were. And you know, these were, I think these were pretty tough times, right? But what's required first is a recognition that there's a truth greater than this. Right? That it's not all, you know, dog eat dog, you know, you better watch your back because, right? It's not all competition and toil and struggle. There's a recognition that there's a truth beyond that. And that's what this is talking about. The innocence of man was awakened by the manifestation of innocence within the world. Those who were willing to see innocence recognized it. So the willingness came first. Show me the truth. And that's when that other dynamic comes in, the inner light reaching for itself. What's required first is the recognition that there's a greater truth and the desire to know that truth. Those who were willing to see innocence recognized it, and innocence recognized itself in all that it did see. No one was called that did not want to be called. All who were called were ready and asking that the calling come to them. I agree. This is good stuff. All right. So here we are, NTI John chapter 2. The Holy Spirit is the light that fills the hearts of man. It is a light that shines in every heart, and it shines unceasingly. It does not exist in some, then not in others, for all that lives lives through the light of God. So the light must be in all that lives. And again, I'm reminded of this analogy of our true being. Our beingness is like the sky, right? It's not, you know, it's not sky over here. It's not totally eaten up by the clouds. It's like it's sky, right? And while the clouds may be blocking it, in my vision, in my sight, that doesn't diminish the sky. It's there, regardless of whether or not I desire to focus my attention on the clouds. On the limitation, on the lack, whatever it is, right? The sky is changeless. The truth of my being is changeless. The light shines in every heart and shines equally. The light must be in all that lives. Sentence 5 on page 189, verses 1 through 11. Within the world, the light is hidden. It is not hidden because it desires to hide. It is hidden because it has not been invited to shine. And so, it shines quietly within itself until it is invited to shine in the world. When it is invited, its time has come, so it shall come forth, and all who have gathered to see it shall see it. For the light is hidden from no one who in readiness asks for the light. And, now, we might want to skip over those middle words, who in readiness, right? But again, the readiness is the recognition of the truth beyond me, beyond my littleness. So if you're ready, if you recognize that there's a truth beyond what we seem to experience ourselves as, you're ready. You're ready for the light. The light is hidden from no one who, in readiness, asks for the light. It is the shining of the light that brings forth faith. With faith, more light is welcomed. So, it's what we were talking about before, right? It's living in the light. It's living in the guidance. It's not putting your faith in, what the thinking mind would tell you. It's living in the light. So, as you turn from darkness and towards the light, you will be given more light. If you turn away, then you'll see less light, right? If you turn away, if you rely on the thinking mind, if you believe in this self-image that you've created and act consistently with that belief, you're turning out your ability to see the light. You can never affect the light, but you're turning from the light. But if you shine the light, if you quit listening to your own desires, your own will, your own belief in the world, your own I am bad thought, if you quit listening to these things, you make room for the light to shine. You make room for faith. You're acting on faith, you get more faith. Okay, but this is verses 12 through 25. When the light is not desired, the light does still shine, because that's what the light does, right? It's like the sky, right? It's there. You don't affect the light. When the light is not desired, the light does still shine, for the light must shine, as that is the essence of light. That's what light does. Where the vision of light is welcomed, it is known. But where the vision of light is not welcomed, it is not known. For each one must see what he chooses to see. And as Cheryl said a while ago, there's your choice, folks. The ones who do not wish to see the light will see something else, and they will love what they see, even though they may believe that they hate it. And this is the essence of confusion, thinking you want one thing when you want another. Right? Yeah, it's even worse than not being able to have both, Cheryl. You think you want the light, and when in fact you're loving your littleness. Holy Spirit says, but know this, what you want must be given you, so you can know that what you see is what you want. It feels like a mouthful, so let's look at that. What you want must be given you. So, here's why it must be given you. So, you can know that what you see is what you want. Well, that's good news, right? If I'm continuing to suffer, I'm choosing suffering. I mean, that's very simply what's being said here. If you see darkness within the world, it is darkness you have asked to see. This goes back to that loop, because you can point outside yourself and go, oh, no, the darkness is what I see, and what I, that was there before I got there. Fire was already burning, right? That was dark before I got there. But remember, what's required is this willingness, is both this belief in the truth beyond what we see and the desire to find that truth. So, if you see darkness within the world, it is darkness you have asked to see, because there comes a point in this loop where you go, enough. I know that's not the truth. I know it seems like they're being mean to me. I know it seems like I can't ever get ahead. I know it, but I have faith. I know that there is truth beyond my experience of this littleness. And all I want is to see the truth beyond this experience. Those are the requirements that we just talked about. Again, if you see darkness within the world, it is darkness you have asked to see. If you witness the light, but do not know the light within yourself, this is the welcome you have given it. And this is just what they were talking about with John. They were like, well, John's guilt kept him from realizing that the light was within him also. It said John's guilt blocked his light from his self, but his desire brought it forth unto him that he may see it and find the glimmer in his heart that said, I am here too, John, in his heart. It's not just Jesus. It's in his heart. So if you witness the light, if you go, wow, that Regina, she's really something. That, I don't know, that Paul Hederman, that Elie Ruisdar, it's like, what am I doing wrong? Why am I not good enough? I must be bad. God doesn't love me, right? No. Wrong. If the light seems, let's see, if you witness the light, so we see it in others, but do not know the light within yourself, this is the welcome you have given it. You've got to start seeing it within yourself, not outside yourself, not yourself without it. If the light seems with you at times and absent at other times, your welcome is not yet consistent. And here's the good news. And if you know the light in all that you see and experience, you have opened yourself to it and it has enveloped you. The news doesn't get any better than this, folks. It really doesn't. It's to think that that it's more available to Regina or Paul or Ellie than it is to me and you. That is also a decision. That's also a choice. That is the choice to believe in our littleness. The good news is that if we choose to know the light in everything, look for it in everything, it's there. It's there. And if we look for it in everything, in everyone, in every place, in every circumstance, guess what? We're going to find it. And we'll not only see it, it will draw us unto itself and we will be enveloped by it. Okay. Let's see. I don't know whether to start this new. I'm just like I am really liking what I'm reading, but let's I'm kind of thinking about playing a song. I think that I will. I had a song pulled up here on my computer. Let me play a song for us. Wow, it's really exciting stuff, guys. Here we go.
Look at the world.
Fun. Sure, I'm gonna play one more and then turn it over to you. I just doesn't make sense to me to start a new chapter, particularly given that one was so powerful. Let me type this in and play this other song, and then I'll turn it all over to you. It's a relatively short one. Here we go. Could have a commercial. I'm on YouTube. There you go.
I wondered, so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Just like a blind man, I wandered along. I claim for my own. Then like the blind man, God gave back his sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Amen. As always, guys, thank you so much. Thanks for being here with me now and always. Thank you for being on this path with me. Thank you for allowing me to share. I love you guys, and I'll see you soon. Bye.